disgusting.
I said, save it for the podcast.
Well, that is one way of looking at it.
Hi, hey, hi, how are you?
I'm good.
This is season two, episode TBD of Agricultural Acts at Indian Ladder Farms. I am your host, Jeff from EQX. We've got Dieter. Say hello.
Hi.
No, I meant to the audience. They should be saying hello to you.
Oh, good. I don't hear anything.
It was very polite of them.
Hello.
hi, Dieter. Hello, Alex.
Hi.
We've got Scotty Veltman.
Hi, Jeffrey.
And today people. We are going to put on our tie-dye lab coats for this episode, as we welcome Avery and Amy from Caller City Mushrooms.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Welcome. Hi, guys.
Welcome. It's good to see you. I saw you last at Farming Man Fest. You had your booth set up and getting your goods out to the people. Let's learn a little bit about you two. Avery, Amy, let's start with you.
Well, I've been growing shiitake and logs up in Knox for about 10, 12 years.
Hells yeah, Knox rules.
That's where I'm from.
Oh, okay.
You're from that area too?
I am. Boriesville.
So you, did you two know each other coming up, Scotty?
No. No.
Okay.
All right. No, I'm a flatlander. So. I lived in Boriesville.
Okay, and he's like the Grinch up the hill.
Yeah.
I was a hill William, and I became a flatlander.
I like it.
Here, you guys need some of that.
And Avery, you have roots in this area?
I sure do. Yeah, I am from East Bern, New York, which is part of the hill towns. So Knox is incorporated in that jurisdiction there. And we used to look down from the Thatcher Park escarpment on all of the poor peons down here. Just laugh.
The squalid city below.
That's where we're at down here right now at Indian Ladder Farms. We're glad we were able to get you on here. I mean, obviously mushrooms have been around since before humans probably, but have become a really hot topic right now. A lot of interest in mushrooms, a lot of understanding about the powers of mushrooms, a lot of misunderstandings about the power of mushrooms, because there's a lot to understand. So we're going to hope to learn a lot about that today. I was reading that you two started this current venture, Caller City Mushrooms, during the pandemic, right?
That's correct. Yeah. I was managing a performing arts center at RPI, that MPAC, the Experimental Medium Performing Arts Center, up until performing arts was canceled for an unknown period of time. And because of our mutual love and appreciation of all things fungi, we decided to pivot and open the mushroom farm. It's something that we had talked about for years. And we started growing in my basement in Troy and just testing out some of the procedures and how to actually grow mushrooms in a controlled environment kind of situation. And yeah, it worked out and we got to where we are right now.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that because we have an absolute love of morels and are lucky enough to be able to forage for them where I live in Vermont. But it's my understanding that you could not do that in a controlled environment. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I just want to back up to people that are listening are probably like, wait, he said farm and he said basement.
Originally that just in my apartment, we set up a couple grow tents, and actually one of the first mushrooms we grew was reishi Ganoderma. So that someone had given it to us as a Christmas present.
Little plug spawn.
Yeah, and we forgot about it. And it was just in our refrigerator for probably 2 years, maybe. And we were like, hey, that's right. These mushroom spawn are in the fridge. Let's see if we can grow these. And it first sprouted a lot of mold. And then we transferred it again into fresh agar plates. And it started to myceliate. And we put it into blocks and grew it in our basement, as well as some king trumpets that we started growing. And just, figured out the airflow and humidification needs. And then scaled it up once we actually had a location. So we're... Our farm is in Lansingburg now. We have a 333 Second Avenue in Troy, and we have three indoor grow rooms, which is 300, 400 square feet. So it's not a lot of space, but it's all vertical. So it's, you know, we do grow quite a few mushrooms, you know, and harvest fresh daily. So it's constantly putting out shrooms.
And you've brought in, these are works of art, mushrooms are. I mean, who doesn't love? Google these images right now so you can kind of play along at home as you listen to Agricultural Acts. But this one right here, this is the reishi?
Both of them are considered reishi. Okay. One is Ganoderma lucidum, and one is Ganoderma sugae. So that one that Amy is holding actually grew on a hemlock, and that's also called hemlock varnish shelf. And so that has no preservatives or anything. That's how it looks in the wild. It's very shiny like that. And this one kind of started to spore out. You can see the spore on there that I just wiped off. But that one was growing in our grow room this morning. And we used a combination of farm-grown and wild-forage mushrooms to give to Scott to brew this Saison Ganoderma that we're about to drink here.
Let's crack those open. No better time than the present, right?
Got one open over here.
We got a little bit there.
We want to thank the producer's producer, Ritz Carlton, who's been running Agricultural Acts. Those were some great sound effects that you produced for us right there.
Nice job. That was good.
Wait, I'm the only one without any in my glass right now?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I remember
the sound effects and not the actual.
I remember my first beer.
All right, well, cheers.
Cheers.
And man, again, welcome to Agricultural Acts.
Hells
Avery
yeah.
and Amy.
Hey, cheers, cheers.
This is the magic of a podcast, but Jeff is holding two beers.
Thank God for these new mic booms. Wouldn't be able to do it without you, producer. All right, so you meet up with Scotty Veltman. He's a brewer here at Indian Ladder Farms, and you start talking about your love of beer and mushrooms and combining and collaborating.
Yeah, well, first, actually... The chef Laura has been using our mushrooms in the kitchens for almost 2 years now. So they have done so many meals, mushroom tacos, the mushroom ramen. They just did a BLO sandwiches, which I think they've now phased out, which were bacon, lettuce, and onion. And they use the king trumpets as the bacon. And I know they're doing a green bean casserole with mushrooms for Thanksgiving too.
We just had our oyster fest this past weekend, and she did a traditional oyster po' boy. Oh, sorry, we're ways from Louisiana.
Remember those guys from Little Falls, New York?
But she's always creative with these guys' mushrooms, and she did a oyster mushroom po' boy, which was very successful, very tasty.
It's really, and this is why I believe there's so much interest in mushrooms renewed right now. It's because there are so many uses, so many benefits for them, and some of that's just being released right now as far as the science behind that. So I wonder with the reishi, what is it? What are the benefits that one would like out of that? If we can talk about different varieties and what you get from them.
Sure. Yeah. So reishi is actually the most studied mushroom. There's over 700 scientific studies that have been done to test whether the active molecular compounds, you know, affect the human body in different ways. And, you know, one of the rumors, Amy, if you want to grab one of the cards there, just so I can get all the names.
We have rumor cards.
Yeah. Well, no. Card. One of the rumors, in goes back to like, you know, old imperial China, is that the reishi was found growing on trees in the imperial garden. And so it was considered one of those royal fruits. And so, you know, peasants couldn't consume reishi because it needed to be dedicated to only the royal family.
Alex, put it down.
But some of the names for reishi are the 10,000-year mushroom, the mushroom of immortality, the spirit mushroom, the queen of mushrooms, the tree of life mushroom, the good fortune mushroom, the bridge between earth and heaven, the ruler of herbs, the flesh-colored ancient life source mushroom, and the panacea polypore.
I've had the mushrooms that are the bridge bridge between life and heaven. Or yeah. That was, but that's not yeah, these. Think, no, that's no, not no. these at all.
I think Jeff's been referred to as the ruler of herbs.
Thank you. I didn't want to mention that myself, yeah. but that's nice to get that out there. Sorry, yeah, continue. But we're, you're going to find, if you didn't know this by now, Avery, we're a bunch of jackasses.
No, so, why do you think you agreed to this? Okay.
Yeah, so Reishi, I'll just read right off of here, is can positively impact Alzheimer's, asthma, bacterial infections, cardiovascular health, depression, epilepsy, hepatitis, HIV, hypercholesteroloma, hypertension, insomnia, liver damage, nerve damage, Parkinson's disease, and rheumatoid arthritis.
We'll pass those over here.
It's in the glass.
That's amazing. Oh. And like, you know, I think we probably all will come to the same conclusion here, but with all of those benefits and all of the, what'd you say, 700 scientific researches done on it, you know, a lot of people suffer from all of those and miserably suffer. Why is this not more widely used in the medical community?
Sure. Well, first of all, I do have to say none of these statements are approved by the FDA. And so the West is only recently discovering. There's that sound.
Sorry, it was delayed. It was delayed.
But the West is only recently discovering it. The East, China, Japan, Taiwan, the Koreas, they've been using mushrooms for thousands of years, millennia. And like you said, mushrooms do predate humans. There's a mushroom... holy crap, I can't remember it right now, but it's one of Prototaxides, which they think is one of the first organisms that actually like came out onto the soil. And really, without mushrooms, there wouldn't be plants. So in the ocean, there were floating algae and a bunch of like single-celled kind of things floating around, and they started combining with mycelium, with fungi cells, and that's what allowed plants to start developing root systems. And so it's really the digestive enzymes of fungi that broke down the lava soil and the bedrock to create a substrate that plants could grow in. So we the earth would not be the earth that we know right now without fungi. And so it is, like you said, it's why don't we here in the West know more about this? And I can only think that it grew out of the 50s and like better living through chemistry. And then, you know, here.
Well, if you found out that you could grow all your medicine in your basement and not rely on the drug companies, I think that'd be a big deal too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Yeah. I think there's some money going into making sure that, you know, that's not common knowledge.
And it seems the war on drugs maybe had a lot to do with it too, unfortunately, with all the positive benefits of these mushrooms, because a lot of studies I've seen were like in the 50s and 60s and then seemed to cut off and coincide with the war on drugs. And now studies are just starting to fire back up in great stead with it.
Well, specifically for psilocybin. I mean, the studies with other mushrooms never really took a pause, because it's, you know, something that people are really interested in because of the myriad of ways that they impact the health. And like Alex said, you know, it's like the pharmaceutical industry wants customers, not really healed people. And a lot of these things could, you know, really benefit people to a point where they would no longer need or rely on the medicines. And, you know, I'm not a physician. I'm not a pharmacist. You know, I have only personally been consuming mushrooms and talking to other people and getting their direct testimony, and, you know, obviously reading tons of studies myself that actually proved, you know, out the efficacy of these mushrooms. Like, you know, lion's mane is another, it's a nootropic that actually passes the blood-brain barrier and has been shown to help with Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's again. And it's a neural regenerative that helps like reprogram the brain and improve focus and attention. And so, you know, instead of like taking...
Sorry, I just had to take a whiz real quick.
That was super quick. Look, if that's going to happen this whole time, why don't you just save it for one
moment? Man's trying to say serious stuff here.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Hill Williams.
Just have some mushrooms.
But that's it. It's, you know, they're... they all benefit people in a myriad of ways. And the mushrooms that we grow on our farm are all considered functional adaptogens, and they're nutraceuticals. So most people are familiar with button mushrooms, portobello, and cremini, which are all Agaricus bisporus. So they're just grown in different conditions and allowed to mature to different rates. So a portobello is just a cremini that was allowed to grow a little bit longer. A button, it was grown more in the dark, and so it didn't really develop melanin, which is why they're white, so that the skin of the mushroom stays really pale. And those are kind of like the iceberg lettuce of the mushroom family. And so that's what most people consume because that's what we know, and that's what is available in the grocery store.
Yeah, we've got Avery and Amy from Caller City Mushrooms as our guests on this episode of Agricultural Acts. I know, Alex, you are super into mushrooms. From the first time I met you and basically every conversation since, it's come up because I like to pick your brain about foraging. And I think that has become a very popular thing, especially, and all this ties into pandemic. It's gonna form who we are and who future generations will be. People had more time and wanted to be more connected with our immediate surroundings. A lot of people started foraging, myself included. That's very dangerous when it comes to mushrooms. And I know I've learned a lot from Alex, but you know, you can't always trust your phone. The iNaturalist app is great, but you're dealing with subtle variety, subtle differences.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of berries and roots too that are just as harmful. I mean,
I wasn't trying to bash the mushroom.
Yeah, yeah, no, but that is, you know, there is an amount of awareness that you do have to have. You can't just willy-nilly grab a bunch of mushrooms and hope for the best because, you know, you can have your liver destroyed and you know, die shortly after.
How about
all
those
mushrooms
first
are
pioneers?
Edible, just some are once in a lifetime. Yeah.
The people who first tried this and was like, am I going to trip balls? Am I going to die? Or am I going to get benefits? Those were risk takers right there.
Yeah. Buddy. Well, that's it. So, and Amy actually contributed all of the foraged reishi, if you want to.
Yep, I found them all up in Knox.
Hell yeah. I knew it. I could smell
the terroir.
Yeah, I could taste the terroir in there.
But explain what do you mean by that? That's an inside nerd joke right there.
It's not really inside.
Maybe not. Oh, that's good.
Maybe not in Danby. No, it's just the just where it's grown. It's it gives its own flavor. Like for instance, our hops are very different. Like if you have Cascade that are grown here and Cascade that's from the West Coast, two different animals. You know, same with our Brewer's Gold.
Yeah, and also there are certain mushrooms that are pretty much sure things that are pretty much easy to tell, you know. Chanterelles, especially at least around here, once you know what a chanterelle looks like, it's pretty easy to identify and be pretty sure that you're getting the right thing. And same with morels. I mean, there's, you know, those are two sure fires. If I'm in the woods, I don't even have to look on my phone anymore, you know? It's like
yeah, there's like if you do a lot of reading with those kind of forageable mushrooms too, there's a lot of things that say like there's no toxic lookalikes, I guess you could say, or whatever. I don't know. That's not the right language. Like,
so if you know what you're looking for, you're okay.
Yeah,
you're
so gonna find. There are like bullets. I know there's a lot of ones.
Puff balls?
Really, like there's really dangerous bullets. But like with chanterelles, there's just the jack-o'-lanterns, which will give you a stomach ache, but it won't kill you. And then with morels, I don't think there's anything. But
yeah,
if you kind of know what you're looking for, you can do a lot of reading, and it'll be like, look out for this, or don't mess around with this unless you really know what you're doing. But
right.
I don't know if I recommend going out and going and foraging mushrooms if you're just reading online. Yeah, you got to have somebody kind of teach you.
Yeah. Especially, so obviously we want to talk a little bit and have this benefit you business on the business end of things because you have a business. This is clearly a hobby that has turned into so much more than that.
Right.
And why not with your knowledge of it, right? So Caller City Mushrooms, we'll go back to this. In Troy or in Lansingburg, right?
It's Troy.
So you just started this couple of years, and the idea is to provide your mushrooms to restaurants, to brewers, to lay folk like myself too.
Yeah, we have a storefront that you can walk right into. We're a mycological education center and a community gathering space. So we're an art gallery. We just had an opening. Jade Warwick, her art is on display right now, and we had music, and we had 518 pizza, wood-fired pizza oven came, like had a portable pizza oven, and they made lion's mane pesto and fresh tomato pizza. Oof. With a porcini glaze.
Oof. Damn.
And a mushroom marsala pizza that tasted like cream of mushroom soup on the pizza. It was absolutely delicious. We host a meditation class or drop-in session every other Tuesday, and we're actually doing a knitting class coming up. Basically, we're a yes and kind of organization. So if someone comes to us with an idea and was like, hey, I'd like to try to do this, and we're like, sure, let's figure it out.
I told everybody we were going to put on our tie-dye lab coats today. It doesn't get more hippie and science than everything you have going on.
Right. Yeah, well, that's what'd you say, Amy?
Oh, don't forget the dinners.
Oh, yeah. And so we also do dinners on the farm. So we have different chefs.
I thought you said the dentist. There's dentistry going on.
Yeah, amateur dentist hour.
Yeah. So November 19th. Here, you tell the story because you are the one that brought this chef to us. It's a good...
Oh, yeah. We were at a mushroom festival in Ashokan, New York, and met a chef. And she saw that we had a dinner announced for the coming month. And she... came to the dinner from Brooklyn, and she's now going to be doing a dinner on Saturday, November 19th.
Yeah. So for the benefit of people that might be listening to this beyond November 19th of 2022, this sounds like something you're going to continue to do. This is going to...
Yeah, every month. We're still working on December's dinner. There's a couple chefs that we're kind of oscillating between right now, but it most likely will be December 10th. And then we have, I think, 8 chefs lined up for next year already. That's another thing, too, is now that people have found out that we are offering our space as a place for them to curate an individual meal for... for mushroom forward meal for people, they are really excited about like the attempt to do that.
You're both clearly here right now, unless I've had too much mushrooms or something. But so are there others involved? Did you have to shut down to come here and hang out? Do you have employees?
Oh yeah, we have 10 employees.
Why right?
Wow.
Yeah. Back at the farm right now, our lab, one of our mycelium lab techs, Nico, is actually working with an Emma Willard junior. I think she's a junior this year, who she started last year as an intern. And she another student came and was like, hey, I'd really like to volunteer and learn about mushrooms. And then this new student came in, Suri, and she started with us last year, and she's been really excited about learning the different processes and figuring out how she can apply mushroom knowledge to her life and the future. And we have a student from RPI that is volunteering with us that we also oversee, and we have some weekend staff. We have a woman that specifically works on our dried goods. So we actually brought some King Trumpet jerky if you guys want to try a little bit of
jerky. Oh, yeah. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
I haven't had lunch today. Yeah, perfect. Well,
this is... it's not quite enough to count as a meal. It was the
someone got into that on the car ride over here.
Yeah. So I don't need any. But, so we make 3 different kinds of jerky, and we also make teas and salts and seasonings. And this is our classic jerky. It has balsamic vinegar, soy sauce, salt, pepper, and red hot chili pepper flakes. So.
It looks just like you would imagine, like beef jerky. It looks like beef jerky.
Yeah.
Sure. Man, that's
certainly
good.
Smells like it. Does it smack like it on the microphone?
Yeah. No? Mm-hmm. We got good smacking.
That's pretty good.
That is delightful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so we, you know, we make that and
producer's producer with more sound effects.
we make a Frank's Red Hot one that we put on like egg sandwiches as like a bacon substitute because I'm plant and fungi based. I don't do animal. And I mean, holy moly, like that was a game changer when Amy was like, hey, why don't we put some of the jerky on this? And I was like, why didn't we put the jerky on?
Do you package that and have little pouches of that?
Like yeah, we do. I have some in the car. We with need me.
That. Oh, nice.
The old tasting room shelf of snacks.
I know. It should go on our shelf of snacks.
Yeah, yeah.
Should go on my first aid kit in the brewery.
Let's get your information out. Website, social media, again, the address.
Sure.
Anything.
Yeah, yeah. So we're collarcitymushrooms.com is our website. We're Collar City Mushrooms on Facebook, collar_city_mushrooms on Instagram. And we also, I would be remiss if I didn't point out our psilocybin advocacy. So we also started the NY Psilocybin Action Committee as a group that started meeting out of a symposium that we hosted with the Sanctuary for Independent Media. And this was a 2-hour long talk with that involved the assembly people who had proposed laws to create accessible systems for psilocybin in New York, and other lawyers and clinicians and physicians that kind of are at the forefront of getting people access to psilocybin. And then people started asking how they could get involved and help create an accessible system. And so that was in April that we had the symposium, and then since May we've met once a month to kind of gather people from all corners of New York. We have members from Long Island all the way out to Buffalo. And this next meeting, which is next Tuesday, is actually going to be down in Kingston at a secret location that is available if you register through the Eventbrite, because they didn't want us to announce where it's going to be. But I'm going to post some pictures, and I'm really excited to be in this spot. And we've had the assembly members' staff attending our meetings and sending us drafts of their bills to take a look at.
Nice.
And really the momentum that has been created around this issue really leads me to think that within the next 2 years or so, we will have some kind of accessible system for psilocybin in New York.
That great job on your part. If I didn't have two beers in my hands, I'd be applauding you. And I think that needs to be, a whole other episode. I don't have headphones on. Was the producer's producer having some fun over there? Nice.
But yeah, so I have this. If you can take that.
Yeah,
this
we're going to have to do a whole nother episode on this, because this is hugely important work that people with mental health issues.
Yeah,
there's so many uses for this. But Amy and Avery, Collar City Mushrooms, we appreciate you coming on. The information is out there to support this fantastic business that you are really just exploding in the few couple of years you've been open. And we hope nothing but the best for you. Dieter, Alex, Scott, producer's producer, Ritz Carlton, and myself, Jeff, we appreciate you listening to Agricultural Acts.
I thought his name was Bart.
We fired Bart.
Out of a cannon?
You've been listening to Indian Ladder Farms Cidery and Brewery owner-operator Dieter Gary, its head brewer Scott Veltman, and its head cider maker Alex Gill. The producers and engineers are Troy Pohl and Ian Carlton. Any questions, comments, thoughts, or suggestions can be directed to podcastilf@gmail.com. That's podcastilf@gmail.com. I'm Jeff Morad. Thanks for listening. See ya!